Our theme for 2021 has been the simple word hope, exclamation point. And our theme verse for this year is Psalm 71, verse 5, which says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." And we noted in this little verse, this psalm, that the Lord is our hope. He is our trust. Hope, as we have seen a few times through the first 6 months of this year, is really sourced in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope and our trust. So we've looked at, considered a few things on hope since the beginning of the year. On January the 3rd, which was the first Sunday in the year, we looked at the theme verse in detail and drew out a number of truths from that. I think the sermon is still posted on the church website under sermons if you want to review that. Then on January the 10th, we considered Christ in you, the hope of glory, from Colossians 1:27. Again, I think that sermon is still online as well, so you can listen to it again if you need to. And then on February the 21st, we considered Jeremiah 17:17 with the sermon title of Hope and the Christian, and looked at a number of verses at that point. This morning, on the last Sunday in the first half of 2021, I would have you consider with me this fact. We have a hope. We have a hope. Just a brief reminder, the English word hope occurs 130 times in our Bibles, beginning with Ruth 1 verse 12, all the way through 1 John 3:3, 130 times you will find the word hope. The Psalms have the most occurrences of the word at 22 times, followed by Job, which is interesting. When you read Job, you almost feel hopeless, don't you? It seemed like Job was in that state until the Lord finally spoke to him and set him straight. The word hope occurs 16 times in the book of Job. And in the New Testament, the book of Romans has 15 times with the word hope. There are many contexts in which the word hope is found, and I encourage you to search the scriptures yourself and find out where those verses are and the things to be learned from them. It is, of course, a worthy search for sure. The Hebrew word for hope is tikvah, which means expectation. Not this kind of a hope, you know, where you cross your fingers and that kind of hope. This is a expectation is what the word means, translated hope. The Greek word is elpis. Elpis, and it means to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation or confidence. Right? To anticipate, same as the Hebrew word with expectation. To anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation or confidence. And so we define the word hope as a confident expectation with anticipation of securing that which is hoped for. Confident expectation with anticipation of securing that which is hoped for. So what is our hope? What is our hope? Well, we know from the theme verse that the Lord God Almighty is our hope and our trust. Jesus Christ himself, the person of Christ, is our hope and our trust. But what else might the Bible say is our hope? There's a couple of passages that we're going to look at this morning and try and unfold them, unpack them for you a little bit. The first is in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, and I would invite you to have your Bibles open at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. This is the great passage on the rapture of the church, And along the way, Paul is instructing the Thessalonians and then us so that we might have hope in the case of Christians who have passed away. Here's what the verses say, and I'm going to interrupt as we go through the verse. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Right? So just pause here a moment. The ones who are asleep are Christians who have died. Okay, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Thessalonians were worried and concerned about their status, those who have died as Christians. They were worried about their status for when Christ would return for his own. Paul, through the whole book of 1 Thessalonians, the epistle, speaks repeatedly about the appearing of Christ, the coming of the Savior. And so these number of Christians had died, and the Thessalonians were worried. They were concerned. Are they going to miss something when Jesus comes back again? And Paul did not want them to be ignorant concerning those who had died. He said, in other words, yes, we sorrow when a Christian passes away, but we sorrow not as others do which have no hope. Why? Because we have a hope. That's why. We don't sorrow as others who have no hope over the death of a loved one or a fellow believer. And the reason is that we do have a hope. And then Paul goes on to explain the source of the hope that we have in the verses that follow. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Pause for a moment. So the first resource that we have for hope is faith in Christ. Right? Faith in Christ. Belief in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul said in verse 14, if we believe, do you? Yes. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. "For I received that which I delivered unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We believe that, right? Yes? Okay. Say yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay. We believe that. And so there is the beginning, or at least the foundation, for the hope that we have. And then Paul says, for those Christians who die, and he uses the phrase sleep in Jesus, right? Sleep in Jesus, that is referring to Christians who have died. It's not referring to soul sleep or anything like that. It's just that, you know, when a loved one passes away, and they're viewing them in the coffin, it just looks like they're sleeping, right? The body is asleep, but the soul and spirit aren't. They have departed the body. And so he says, Paul says, for those Christians who die, God will bring them with him. What is that supposed to mean? What is it that God is going to bring with him? That is, when Christ comes, and we'll see this in the next few verses, when Christ comes to the clouds of the air, what is it that he brings with him? Christ is coming from heaven. What's he bringing? The soul and the spirit. The body's still in the ground. He brings with him the soul and the spirit of the believer that has died. The soul and soul and spirit have been with Christ in heaven since the moment they took their last breath on this earth. And so God will bring soul and spirit of the believer that died. The body is buried in the ground, but the soul and the spirit went to be with the Lord in heaven at the moment that they died, right? Right. We're told in Scripture that absent from the body is present with the Lord. For the believer, that is. For the believer. We have, therefore, a hope for the ones who sleep in Jesus, for those Christians who have died. There is great hope for them because soul and spirit are coming back. What's going to happen at that point? Paul goes on, verse 15. He says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God." And look at this. "The dead in Christ shall rise first." First. Paul is saying those believers who have died are at no disadvantage when Christ returns, because they're going to rise first. Oh, what a wonderful plan God has put together. So this is the revealed word of the Lord to the Apostle Paul. That's what he says in verse 15. "At the coming of the Lord, we who happen to be alive at that time," how many wish to be alive at the time of the rapture? That's the way I'd like to go, I think, rather than through physical death. "But we who are alive at the time of Christ's coming to the clouds of the air will not prevent them," the text says, "that are asleep." Now, don't worry about the word prevent. It's an old English word. It simply means to go before, or precede, if you like. To go before. It's a good English word, actually, and it communicates very well about going before. Pre is before, and the last part of it comes out of the Latin, I think, which means to go or to move. So it means to go before or to precede. In fact, when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ rise first. That is, if you can put your sanctified imaginations to work here, the body will be resurrected from the ground to meet the soul and spirit in the air with the Lord, and joined once again. At that time, when the body is resurrected and rejoined with soul and spirit, now the body is changed, right? It's made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus. It's a body that is fit for eternity. And it will rise on this day of resurrection, rejoin with soul and spirit once again, at which time redemption will be complete for those who have died in Christ. It will be complete and perfect. They will be perfect, spirit, soul, and body, as Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Spirit, soul, and body, all together, once again, in perfection. Glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus. What a great day that's going to be. So this is the time of the redemption of the body that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, which says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." Right? Our bodies have not yet been redeemed. We still live in these bodies of flesh. Still, those of us who are alive, still susceptible to the temptations that Satan throws our way all the time, or the world around us. We still are in a weakened body, because unfortunately there are times when we do fail the Lord, succumb to the temptations, even though he's given us a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13. But the redemption of the body will occur on the day of resurrection. And that day will happen when Christ comes to the clouds of the air to rapture his church. Romans 8 is a very important passage which speaks of salvation and hope. And we don't have time to look into it today. We'll have to have another message on Romans chapter 8 and study out that passage sometime later. So, hope is resourced in our faith in Christ, our belief of the gospel message and our belief in Christ, and to the coming of Christ to redeem the body when he descends from heaven to the clouds of the air. you get a little excited about that in anticipation of what's going to happen. It's going to be incredible. Paul continues in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. So he's talked about those who are dead in Christ, who sleep in Jesus. Now look at verse 17. Then we which are alive, that will include all of us, yet still today, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the dead in Christ, that is all believers in the Lord Jesus since Pentecost, in the year that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, all believers since Pentecost to the return of Christ who have died, who have already died, this of course is referring to the church, broadly, the church of Jesus Christ. All believers, the dead in Christ, shall rise first, and then those believers who happen to be alive at Christ's return will be caught up. And that is from where we get the word rapture. It comes from the Greek to through the Latin and then finally to English. Rapture means to be caught up. This is a sudden snatching away. To those who may be observing on this planet at that time, people are just going to look like they disappeared. Because Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 about the changes that are going to happen in our body, and that's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye, which is faster than a blink, I understand. And so it's going to just seem that there are people who will disappear. We understand that to be the rapture that will take place. And we will, with those who are dead in Christ, all believers for the last 2,000 years will meet together with the Lord in the clouds, in the air. And Paul says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. How wonderful is that? And we anticipate that. We look forward to it with joy, gladness, and great delight. And that is a hope. That is the hope that we have. Our hope is absolutely tied to the return of Jesus Christ to rapture all believers in Christ, to meet the Lord in the air. We'll ever be with the Lord forever, our Savior, our Lord, our God. And then Paul concludes this, verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We are to encourage and comfort those who sorrow with the hope that Paul has just explained about in this passage of Scripture. We have a hope, a confident expectation with joyful anticipation of Christ's return and our rising to meet him. We will be whole and complete. Again, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, our bodies will be transformed. We will change. So these old bodies of flesh will be transformed into a glorious body like that of the Lord Jesus. And one of the things we know about Christ's resurrected body is he can just appear in a room with doors and windows closed. Just there he is. He can leave the same kind of way. He can appear to two men on the road to Emmaus just after the resurrection happened and talk to them. They didn't even know who it was. He could hide his identity from those until he wished to let them know that it was him. And that happened when they got to Emmaus. If you remember the story in Luke 24, they sat down for a meal. They invited Jesus, who they didn't know it was Jesus, but they invited him in. And had a meal. Jesus returned thanks. Their eyes were open. They saw who it was and realized who it was, and then he disappeared. And what did they do? They made a beeline back to Jerusalem to the apostles and said, we've seen him. And along the way they said, didn't our heart burn within us when he talked to us along the way in the scriptures? And Jesus had been telling them all the things about himself in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, which is the whole Old Testament, by the way. And so we had that confident, joyful expectation, and are to encourage each other with that. We are not to sorrow as others who have no hope, because we have a hope, a great hope, a joyful hope. It is a confident expectation with joyful anticipation of Christ's return and our rising whole and complete to be with Christ forever. I have in my notes here, can I get an amen? Okay. I know we're not used to that here around here, but so be it. That's what God has said. We believe it. That settles it. And we look forward to the day. And I have to tell you that it sure seems like the day of the rapture is very, very close, given the things that are going on in the world around us today. The Christ family, we have shown some of their music videos before. They have sung a gospel song called We Have a Hope, which is where I got the sermon title from. We have a hope. And the chorus goes like this, just the words. We have a hope, and his name is Jesus. Death has no power, for he holds the key. He gave his word. He would come back and gather his children. Oh, what a reunion. Heaven's hope will lead us home. Great lyrics to the chorus, and I'll play it for you. Just the chorus. Song is really good. If you you can check them out on YouTube if you wish. I just wanted to play that chorus for you this morning. Heaven's hope will lead us home. What a great hope that we have. Don't you like that? That's what we have to look forward to with great anticipation. We have a hope, and his name is Jesus. And just think about that for a moment. Because Jesus Christ is our hope, and he has risen from the dead to die no more. He is eternal. What does that mean for our hope? Our hope is, at this point in time, endless. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It will finally be secured when he comes and we see Jesus face to face. And then when we see him, we won't have to hope anymore because we see him face to face. It's all been realized and that forever. So our hope is ongoing. It will last as long as the Lord Jesus lasts. Now in this chorus, we have a hope. And in the scripture, we've learned that our hope is tied to the promised return of Christ for his own. Right? The promised return of Christ for his own. In John 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that you may be with me forever. And so the hope that we have is the promised return of Christ for his own, the rapture of the church for us at this moment in time. The rapture is imminent. It means it could happen at any time, any moment. And the question is, are you ready for it? Are you ready for it at any moment? You can't think, well, you know, it's going to happen on this day next week sometime, so I'll get ready for that. It could happen in the next moment. We might not even leave this building. We might not even get home before that happens. And we need to be ready for it through our trust in the Lord Jesus, in our belief in the Word of God, and our obedience to it. And along with this promise from Christ that he's going to come back for us, all the other things the Word of God says also gives us hope. It gives us hope. Everything you read in the Bible ought to just secure that hope even more in your heart and mind and life. So we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate, Spirit-conceived, virgin-born, only-begotten Son of the living God. We must believe on him as Lord and Savior. And when you do, and if you have already, scriptures tell us that you will be born again into the family of God and have eternal life beginning right away, and then you will have the hope, too, that comes along with all of that. In fact, the Bible tells us of a blessed hope that belongs to all of us as believers in Christ. Not just hope, but it's a blessed hope. And just to have a look at this, let's turn back to Titus chapter 2 in the last few minutes that we have this morning. The Bible tells us of a blessed hope that belongs to all of us as believers in Christ. You can just scan through verses 11 through 14. I'll read it again. Here in these verses, we have the character of the Christian and the mention of the blessed hope. So verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is the character of the Christian. Saved by the grace of God, verse 11, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then verse 12, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, and, in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to understand that the great God and Savior, both of those terms refer to Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the great God. He is our Savior. Those two phrases come together in the Lord Jesus. So a blessed hope is what we have as believers in the Lord Jesus. It is the glorious appearing of Christ that is this blessed hope. The word blessed is the Greek word makarios. Makarios, it means happy. Are you happy? You don't look too happy. I know you're putting you to sleep. Happy is the word blessed. In fact, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines blessed as made happy or prosperous, enjoying heavenly felicity. What? Enjoying heavenly felicity. Everybody knows the meaning of the word felicity. I had to look it up. Felicity is the quality or state of being happy, especially great happiness. Right? So we have heavenly felicity. That is the blessed part of the hope. Great happiness. It ought to well up within us great joy and gladness and happiness. And remember that hope is the confident expectation with joyful anticipation of hope being fulfilled. We ought to be a happy people because we have a great hope, a blessed hope. Jesus is coming again. And if we're ready to meet him by our faith and trust in him, then we can look forward to that day, not with fear and trepidation, but with joy and gladness and anticipation. Now, knowing we have a blessed hope, what does that do to you? What does that do to you? Should it not well up within us a sense of joy and praise, gladness, expectation, carefulness in how we live our lives? Jesus is coming again, and we will be caught up to meet him in the air. And in the passage here in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, just muse on those things again that are associated with the blessed hope, right? Teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, that is sober-mindedly, righteously and godly in this present world. Those are the things that should characterize us as Christians, and they become so very important to us, especially in light of the blessed hope that we have of Christ's return. This blessed hope ought to make a big difference in how we live our lives in this present world. Even though it may be an evil world, ruled over by the devil himself, prince of the power of the air, god of this world, we ought to still live those kinds of lives that would be pleasing to the Lord, and as described here for us in these verses, along with the blessed hope that is ours. Let us let the blessed hope that is ours make a difference in us and give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christ gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity, and we are a purified, peculiar people, saved to do good works with great zeal. That's verse 14. Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Y'all are a peculiar people. And I think one of the peculiarities of us is that we have hope, a blessed hope. We look forward to the return of our Savior to catch us up and to take us home to be with himself. So how are you doing with all of that? It's a lifetime of putting that into experience, I think, into practice. I trust that you will trust the Lord to help you to have that kind of life that is appropriate for a hopeful life. May God help us to be what he wants us to be and to do, and we will rejoice in the truth that we have a hope, and his name is Jesus, and heaven's hope will one day soon lead us home to be with him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word and for the anticipation that it gives to us as it talks about hope and the blessed hope, the return of our Savior, our meeting him in the clouds of the air, our bodies being changed and fit for eternity and for glory and for heaven, how we rejoice so much in this hope that you give to us because of our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and the presence of the Spirit of God to indwell our bodies, whose part of his fruit is joy in our lives. And we sense all of that, and we thank you for it, for the hope that we have been given through the Lord Jesus Christ. How we look forward to that day when we will hear the trumpet and the voice of the archangel and the call to come up, and that we will quickly rise to meet him in the air, and so will we ever be with the Lord. And help us, Lord, through this truth and its being embedded in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, to then live our lives in ways that would manifest that hope, that would be pleasing to thyself, that would cause us to live godly lives, righteous lives, Christ-like lives, in fact, for the honor and glory of your name. Help us never to lose the hope that we have been given through our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.